You're listening to Atomic Moms. I'm Ellie Noss, and each week we celebrate and commiserate with world-class experts, best-selling authors, and parents around the world. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Since it's October and Halloween's around the corner, why don't you go ahead and slather on one of those moisturizing masks that scares the heck out of your children while you listen to this special beauty edition of Atomic Moms. You know, we've done over 200 episodes, and I don't think we've ever talked beauty before. Our guest today, Glozell, is a comedian, a YouTube sensation with nearly 5 million subscribers. She's the author of the best-selling book, Is You Okay? She's an actor and voiceover artist with cameos in Trolls and Wreck-It Ralph 2, and she's been known for both choking on cinnamon, definitely YouTube it, and for interviewing President Barack Obama at the White House. She's also a mother to a three-year-old. And so we recorded our conversation about motherhood and career advice and fertility in front of a live audience in the Jane Club suite at BeautyCon, the world's largest beauty event. And since this is a parenting podcast, of course, if you're going to record a live event, of course there's a baby crying in the background throughout the conversation. But we're used to that, right? We know how to tune that out. Crying babies? At least yesterday, for the first time in 2 years, I was not the one with the crying baby on the plane. I am so proud of my little two-year-old Eliza. And since we're sharing the BeautyCon episode, I figured this was the perfect chance to reach out for a special little introductory conversation with a mama who knows all about sleepless nights and beauty. Sunny Abada is joining me for this one. She has worked in TV news for over 13 years. If you look her up on Instagram, you'll be like, oh yeah, she looks like the Hollywood version. She looks like a Hollywood actress playing a TV news anchor. I played a TV news anchor on a network drama once, and I buckled under the pressure. Imagine hundreds of extras screaming as though they're paparazzi in front of a courtroom, and I was supposed to be the news anchor, and I had flown to New York the night before. And since this is a beauty episode, I can say this. I looked terrible on camera with that one. My face was so puffy, which is probably the cortisol shooting through my veins, but also the lack of sleep, and also because the makeup artist was not interested in making any magic with me in that trailer at 4 a.m. I don't know how actual TV news anchors do it. So we're going to find out a little more about that in this little introductory conversation with Sunny. She also has had 3 kids in 5 years. I'm going to say that again. That's insane. I mean, insane in a great way. 3 kids in 5 years. And so now she's blogging at sunnyabada.com, and she's podcasting. Her podcast is called 30-something with Sunny Abada. And one of her passions is skincare and beauty products. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sunny, this is so funny. Listeners, I was just messaging Sunny via Instagram, which is really where our relationship has flourished. And I said, I'm ready when you are. And you wrote back, ready, exclamation point. And then I just got this like rush of adrenaline. Because when I was a kid, we'd go water skiing. It would be like, ready, ready. And then my mom would just like hit the throttle on the boat and you just go flying and hold on for dear life.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I brought back some visceral memories for you.
Exactly. Let's just shoot out of the cannon. Let's take off. Sunny, when I saw your blog post, Beauty Empties, that was the title of it, I knew I had to direct message you to come on for this beauty episode introduction. So what are your beauty empties? What are your favorite things that you get to the bottom of the bottle for?
Okay, so I should put this out there that I'm an absolute product freak. So I try a bunch of stuff. Sometimes I like work with companies and they send me stuff. Sometimes I just like go out and blow hundreds of dollars on it. But okay, so the things that I like to invest in first and foremost are skincare and hair care. Those are my top two. So for hair, lately, I have been we're in Florida, so I'm always testing out things for humidity and all that stuff because I have naturally curly kind of coarse hair. My recent beauty empty, this line that I'm loving, is Virtue. And I just started working with them because I'm obsessed. I like stock brands that I love. They have this keratin complex in their products that essentially like goes in and fills in the gaps in the pores of your hair, or like, you know how it can feel porous or be broken if you color treat it. So their Restore line, it's like in a teal bottle, their shampoo and conditioner I'm obsessed with in their mask. So that is my most recent round of hair empties. And they have other stuff too. If you like a full, you know, you need more volume, they have that kind of stuff, or a smoother kind of look, they have that. For body wash, I always say I lean clean or lean green. Like I use stuff that's bad for you, but I try not to because I also like to get Botox. So I'm like, well, if it's going to be bad, I'm just going to shoot it right into my head. Everything else I'm pretty clean with. So they have, there's this body wash by a company called Alevia. It's prebiotic. So it's literally made of like 7 ingredients. Has all these ingredients in it that essentially feed the good germs on your skin. So the whole thing against soaping up too much or stripping your skin of its natural moisture is that it can lead to, you know, dryness and issues down the road. And plus it's just like not healthy to do. So I love Alevia. What else is another empty lately? Oh my gosh. I have the world's like biggest pores on the sides of my faces, like the lower cheek kind of area. It's so gross. Am I grossing you out? But like salicylic acid is a great product to like get in and clean your pores. So the Paula's Choice, it's called a liquid exfoliant. It's like a BHA salicylic acid product that's kind of like a toner. So you wash, you tone, then you let your skin dry, and it's, you just put it on a cotton pad and it just soaks right in. And it legitimately like vacuums the crap out of your pores. And then the last empty recently, I'm obsessed with this whole line, Drunk Elephant. It's another cleaner brand, and they have these things called de-bronzy sunshine drops, I think they're called. And when you squeeze it out, it's in a tube. It looks like a liquid bronzer, but it's not scary because it's designed to be mixed with your regular face lotion. So I do one pump of that in my SPF. So my daily SPF is like a little whitish because it's a zinc oxide based one. And I put one pump of that, and I literally do not need any makeup or tinted moisturizer for the day because that little bit of bronze just sort of illuminates and like covers a little bit of the imperfections. And those are my 4 empties recently.
Maybe it's something about being in our 30s, or maybe it's the motherhood thing, but I've become much more interested in having a clean face. Maybe because it feels more like the holy grail these days. Like I used to have a clean face and I didn't care. So it was like about how do I figure out makeup? How do I learn to contour or do highlights? Like how can I make myself look more glamorous? That was my 20s. Uh-huh. And now I would just love to look like I just woke up super refreshed.
Yes.
Which feels much more like a magic trick when we have little ones at home. And my girlfriend, Sarah Hendler, has 2 young boys, and I don't know how she does it, but she always rocks a clean face. She always looks rested, and she uses the, La Prairie.
La Prairie.
La Prairie.
Yes.
A 3-minute resurfacing cream, and it's very expensive. It's at Barney's, and I bought it. But I still have the under eye circle stuff.
You know what? It's like, it's tricky. The under eye circles, for some people, they're the dark, you know, sort of hereditary dark circles. For some people, it's like a bag situation. I mean, that's why I don't really think that like a cream, topical cream, unless it's like a retinol, will ever really fix the ish under the eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Do your kids crawl into bed with me at night? Because we're in that stage very much. And like, that broken sleep will really have you waking up looking like a beast.
Somebody's always waking me up. Okay, so how much water do you drink, Sunny? Because you look annoyingly hydrated.
I don't like many beverages except water and green tea. I do like coffee here and there, but I don't know. I probably don't drink enough, but I do like keep one of those Corksicle bottles near me.
I love those.
Aren't they the best?
Yeah.
So I do try to keep water on hand all the time. And, you know, the sippy cups and stealing kids' water all the time because we're in Florida and it's 1,000,000 degrees. So we always have a water bottle around us. But I do think that's like important. And it's annoying to hear people say that, but I think hydration is key.
What is your lip moisturizer of choice?
Oh, the Kopari Lip Glossy. So this is like they make shades too, but the one that I use at night is a clear, very cushiony, like shiny kind of thing, lip gloss thing. I'm being very technical in my terms here. Anyway, it's just very moisturizing. So I like to use that at night and then let it soak in for a few minutes. I have a silk pillowcase. Oh, that's another
Ooh,
great
do
tip.
You love
you
it?
You want your blowout to last. I do. I hate myself for being so basic, but a silk pillowcase is a game changer for the face and the hair because your skin doesn't, I'm a face and like I'm a belly sleeper. So I would wake up really dry with a cotton pillowcase because my face is all smushed in there. You don't get as many lines, or I don't at least. And your hair, it's better for your hair because it's not, you know, ripping and tearing. The fibers of the cotton are a little more rough. The silk, everything like glides. It's very nice. And they have them so cheap everywhere. So it's worth it.
I have a friend who trained herself to sleep on her back, just like straight
oh
up
gosh.
And down. And I feel like she'll look 20 years younger than me by the time we're in the old
I
folks
like,
home.
I will never be able to do that. I'm like face down, like someone just like pushed me like face down into the mattress. I, that's the only way I can sleep. But I do think the silk pillowcase helps.
I use T. LeClerc as my under eye concealer. And the other day I thought I lost it. And I you never know how much your concealer means to you until you lose it at the bottom of your drawer.
Oh my gosh, it's insane. I swear by Dermablend too, by the way. If you're looking for a good budget option, they have it at Ulta. They have it, I mean, just everywhere online. And it's I used to use it on TV, so it sounds like it would be too like heavy for day-to-day life, but you can blend it out really well. So I like, that's a really good day-to-day one, Dermablend. And then Hourglass Cosmetics makes one called the Mineral Veil something. I don't know, I can send you a link, but it's a little sheer. So I think like day to day, like you said, the best thing is when your skin like kind of peeks through. Like you don't want to have like cake makeup on, but you also want to have a little bit of coverage and dignity. So those two I found like can are sheer enough to kind of look very natural, which I think is good.
Okay. Well, since you hailed from the news world, I assume you have lots of experience with fake eyelashes. Would you recommend eyelash extensions?
You know what? I wouldn't. I'm really, I know people who love them and who live by them, but I'm like a long game kind of gal. And if there's a chance that it could inhibit your own like natural lash growth cycle, like I'm not down. I feel like, but again, this is like just me. I know people, if you have the time and the ability to go and do it, they can look really great, but you have to go and sit with your eyes closed for like an hour. I don't ever do that except when I'm sleeping in like 2 hours first at night. So if you can, if you have the time to invest and you have, you know, the ability to kind of go back and do it regularly, then I think it's totally worth it. I have girlfriends that swear by it. I personally don't like it. I use a little castor oil or they have like a ton of those lash regrowth serums on the market. Mm-hmm. There's like Rapid Lash. And those have worked really well for me in the past too. So, and if you want something natural, you can use castor oil. So there's some options that I like to kind of use to just grow my lashes rather than go that route. What is your day-to-day like makeup look like, your routine? Are you, I mean, or are you just kind of chill?
I'm spending all the money on skincare right now. I use the Lancer 3-step method, which again is outrageously expensive. It really does seem to work. I'm not a huge fan of the fact that there is the word sulfate does come up in it, mm-hmm. in the ingredients, mm-hmm. but it's a cleanser. And well, okay, so you start with the polish, then there's a cleanser, and then there is the moisturizer, which of course is called Nourish. And when I use it, people definitely comment on how rested I seem. So,
oh, wow, that's good. Then it was in a good investment.
Yeah, whatever these ingredients are, they work very quickly. And then
now, let me ask you this. Do you do like a retinol product ever at night? Because I feel like that's always a good thing, too.
I just got pushed one by my dermatologist. And,
oh, perfect.
I don't know what it is, though. I haven't started using it. Literally today she gave it to me.
Oh, good. Okay. I do think that's like the key ingredient, too.
Okay, tell us why.
Well, I mean, vitamin A, which is a retinol, is like a vitamin A derived ingredient. It's like the over the counter version. Like you said, your doctor can prescribe like a stronger retin A kind of deal, but it's just so studied and it has the research to back it up that it really does get rid of wrinkles and, you know, it plumps the skin and it helps to produce more. It stimulates the collagen. It does all the things. So, but like I just started it because I've been having children and nursing children for the better part, like I said, it's almost 7 years now. And there's a little bit of an adjustment period. So you'll be flaky and red. And I had a little bit of a situation where my skin was kind of like purging some crap that was stuck in there. But after you get through that, it's actually really, I've noticed a huge difference. And I've just been doing it, I would say, 3 months or so.
But, well, I would say this is probably a great time of year as well to start, you know, not when you're about to be out on the beach all the time. So
exactly.
And before we get too dry from winter, seems like a good transitional period for me to explore retinol. Botox curious, and you just brought it up. So give it to us. When did you start using Botox? I mentioned it once and was like, well, what about some, I floated it. I was like, what about baby Botox? And the woman was like, it's not baby for you anymore. Like,
oh my gosh. Well, that's harsh. Thanks, honey. Not coming back here ever again. Well, I am a big proponent of whatever people need to do to make them happy. I have done Botox on and off again. Like there was a period between baby 2 and 3 where I wasn't nursing. So I was able to like get some then too. I started in my early 30s, very, very sparse. I like to have expression. I'm sure like coming from your background too, you know, I value the ability of my face to like express emotion. So I would never go too hard in. So in the beginning, it was just for the lines between my forehead. And then I took a break with the kids stuff. And I would say, I mean, I've done it at least a half a dozen times now. And I do between the eyebrows, on the forehead, and on the crow's feet on the outside of, you know, when your kind of smile lines on the outside part of your eyes. And I love it. I think it's something that if you don't overdo it, it can really prolong the sort of youthful look. Because if you overdo it, you're freezing your face and your face still moves. So you're going to get weird lines in new places. If you ever heard of like bunny lines, like you would see all these women with frozen foreheads, but like the tops of their noses would kind of crinkle because like your face has to move somewhere. So if you do too much Botox, you can have these ancillary kind of side effects. So I like to do once or twice a year tops and just a little bit, like you said, a little bit baby Botox here and there. And I find that it has really, it's just really helped. I mean, it's weird to not move your forehead.
You don't want to look like you're a Bravo cast member. I've heard that there are studies out there that say that Botox can help with anxiety and depression because it can help with the way you feel physiologically. The opening up of the face can help with the way you feel internally. And
I totally buy that. Yeah.
I did have a girlfriend tell me a story, though, about after getting Botox, that she was reading a book to her 2-year-old. I promise this wasn't me, everybody, even though I have a 2-year-old. It was about different emotions. And the child was asking, the little boy was asking her, like, but what does mad look like? And she tried to do it. And he's like, what does sad look like? Like, it was the same face.
It's true. It is a really weird feeling. Like the first time I got it, it felt like there was a free weight on my forehead because you can't move it. But I know it's weird. And I do really agree with that study because I feel like there have been times after I've gotten Botox where I could go like full on cry and like the inability to move my forehead prevents me from like going all in on a big emotion, which I'm sure like people around me are really grateful for, but it does something when you can't like fully express.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little weird, but
it's like that Amy Cuddy power pose thing, that TED talk about how if you do a power pose, that can make you feel more empowered. And of course, all these super lame studies came out, you know, disproving it. I think there was quite a scandal there. But I stand by the power pose. And I'm imagining that Botox is like a power pose for your forehead.
Yes, you're like, I am impervious to the world. Nothing can make me upset anymore. But I do, you know, I know some people crap on the whole Botox thing. They're like, oh, just age naturally. But you do you, sister. You know, if you like a little shot here and there, I say go for it. Okay, and it wears off, so it's not forever.
Well, and I think to go back to our kids waking us up in the middle of the night and just everything that happens when you're a parent, stress is, I think, the number one beauty killer for us.
Yeah.
And I saw a beautiful quote you had on Instagram, and I'd love for you to share it with our listeners. Can I put you on the spot? Will you read this quote?
Oh, sure.
So to my fellow what-ifers.
Oh, yes. Let me pull that little puppy up. That was like the backstory on that one is I've become like a total, I call my alter ego is Anxiety Annie, because when I don't know, something happened after I had kids that just introduced this whole new world to me where I am much more anxious. So it's from that post called The What If Bomb. And it says, so to my fellow what-ifers, I have a proposition. What if we replaced one of our worst case scenarios every day with a best case scenario? What if we asked ourselves, what if only the best possible outcome will happen as a result of this decision I'm about to make? Or what if the move I'm about to make will result in happiness, safety, good vibes, and energetic wealth? Or the simplest but most powerful possibility, what if everything is going to be just fine? So I try to remind myself of that.
So good. Thank you so much, Sunny. And thank you for sharing this next segment with me. Do you have any hot tips for me about how to keep your cool when you're interviewing someone and there's just mayhem?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I must say you are selling yourself short because you know exactly how to connect, which I feel like is at the basis of every good appearance or media event or anything you might be doing. So, you know, you just are authentic and you are who you are, and just know that everyone is feeling those nerves. You know, I think you have like done, you've done so many great interviews on this podcast, and like, not to pump your tires, but
please do.
Please do go on. We have 10 minutes left, Sunny. You probably don't know how much you've impacted other people's lives. I mean, I used to drive around with my Dunkin' Donuts coffee and my Munchkins and listen to your podcast, really feeling like it was one of the few points of connection I had outside of like the craziness of like my early motherhood days with my second baby, especially, which was when I started becoming really anxious. And, you know, I think you got to give yourself credit for that. In those moments where you get a little bit nervous, or you know that you're on the spot or in a situation where you're a little uncomfortable or you're doing something different, like, just know that like, you do this, you got this, girl. Like, you come from a place of authenticity and you come from a place of like having really already helped so many people. So just jump right in, you know, just like you're water skiing, girl.
Yeah.
You got this. You're ready. Yeah. Seriously. I do. Like, I feel like I should say thank you to like the many episodes that I've like devoured just driving around listening to your very soothing voice. So keep up the good work, sister.
Thank you so much, Sunny Abada. Okay, I now have a few of my notes. The Alpha Ret Overnight Cream is what my dermatologist gave me to try. So I'm trying it out. For hair, I love the Amika Nourishing Mask. Claire Coffey accidentally left hers in my guest bathroom. I'm a big fan. And for concealer, I also use Clos de Peau. Should have paid more attention in French class so I could pronounce my beauty care. And when we were in Paris this summer, remember that European heat wave? I needed some hair help before our event, so I got the Universal Blowout Lotion from And Other Stories, and I absolutely love it. Okay, but enough about my beauty routine. Here's the moment we've all been waiting for. Our interview with Glozell. I want to set the scene for you all. So the New York Times says BeautyCon is the Super Bowl of the beauty industry. I'd say it's way better. I was at the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson. Yeah. That's a huge wardrobe malfunction brag. We are recording in a space that was all judged up by the Jane Club, a women's community and workspace in Los Angeles. And so at BeautyCon, this huge convention, I mean, Forbes describes it as a world of depth, of character and heart, where everyone, even those who don't feel like they fit in other places, can come and be accepted completely. And the same could be said about our guest, Glozell Green, and the community she has created on her social media platforms. Again, she has 5 million subscribers almost. I mean, by now she probably does, on YouTube. In this conversation, we are talking about screen time with her toddler, her wild career path, and what it's actually like trying to conceive after 40. And I should say, we had a lot of different audiences in mind. We had young fans in the front row. We had our mothers listening at home. So I was trying to have an intimate conversation with Glozell in front of an audience while competing with a sad baby. I was trying to project so that people could hear me. So here's my auctioneer Ellie voice. Glozell has so many wonderful things to share in this conversation. I can't wait for you to hear it.
I'm getting chairs over here.
Okay, yeah, you, okay, Glozell, you're gonna be right there.
Okay.
And now it's my turn to go. Okay. Welcome to the podcast, Glozell.
Hello, this is Glozell. Is you okay? Is you good? Because I want to know. Thank you for having me here. This is so exciting. Thank y'all for waiting on me.
Since you're the queen of YouTube.
That's what I, you know, prefer.
You know, we got to talk about screen time, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Silicon Valley parents right now, they're not letting their kids have screen time. And I'm curious, like, as a mother now and also as the queen of YouTube, what are your thoughts on screen time with your daughter and how do you manage it?
Okay, so she's asking me, do you let your daughter use the iPad or the telephone or, you know, use the phone to watch things? And yes, of course. And I do know parents that are like that. However, I don't have a problem with it. You make sure you screen and make sure you know what they're watching, of course. Feel free to watch me. You know,
yeah.
There you go. Feel free to watch me. But my daughter is working on her third language. So I find it very beneficial to throw on cartoons that are in those languages. So she's only allowed to watch cartoons in Spanish or in Chinese. So I don't have a problem with it. I don't speak those languages. So how does she get it at home outside of when she's in those classes?
Ozell's already smarter than me. How do you handle the, like, taking it away? Because this is something I have not personally been able to finesse. Like, I avoid a lot of meltdowns when I get the screen time with my daughter, but then when I try to take it away, it's a tantrum like none other.
Oh, that is true. Like, just this morning, well, it's hard when I'm like, no screen time right now. We're leaving. I have some place to go. And my husband's like, oh, here. And I'm just like,
right?
You know, so that's hard. And now you have to, I'll give you this. Like I'm bartering with this 3-year-old, you know, and you should just do what I say.
Right.
You know, but,
well, and my 2-year-old gets car sick.
Oh.
So she'll be screaming for the phone to watch something. And then she'll throw up on my phone. So it's not working for me anymore.
No. She's like, I'll fix you, Mom.
So, but since we're, you know, I don't know how to like pivot from vomit to beauty, but since we're at BeautyCon, we got to talk about your signature look. You're wearing your green lipstick today. You gave 3 of these lipsticks to President Obama for Michelle and his 2 daughters.
Yes.
So I'm hoping you could share with our audience here today the meaning behind the look and what that green lipstick signifies.
Okay. Well, green lipstick, if you watch the Cinnamon Challenge, a lot of my videos, that was no green then. I came across this green lipstick around October, so that definitely was like, oh, a Halloween type of thing. And I'm like, oh, I'll do a video with a green lipstick. No problem. So I do a green lipstick, and I don't even know what the video was. All the comments was like, green lipstick, where you find green lipstick? So I'm like, oh, I should just go ahead and keep that. And now people really expect it. There's times where I don't wear it, but then I feel bad when people get a picture and like, oh, I didn't have on a green lipstick. So I just do it and I don't have a problem with it at all. And it's fun. I say in my book, like green means go. Like if you see me, especially if I'm on green lipstick, come up to me, get a picture. I will always say yes. I have no problem with it. So green means go. Yeah. And we'll make sure that we get pictures before we leave also. That'd be
I loved that part in your book. Like, I remember the intersection where I was, like, turning left when I heard you say that. And I was like, oh, I think I'm in love with this woman. Because you said that kids would kind of follow you around.
Yes.
And be like, is that Glozell?
Right.
And you wanted them to know that it was you and that it was okay to come up to them.
It's always okay to come up to me. Because people will do this, like, like, you speak in pictures? Because kids are not that, you know, you're not good at hiding at all. Like, I see you walking by me in my face taking pictures. So just come over and take a picture. I have no problem, no matter. And Ozell is usually ready to, like, okay.
She's so ready. Those videos.
Oh, thank you.
So talking about getting ready, I'm wearing a tank top right now that I made. I'm going to flash my...
you made? You said you made?
I collaborated with my girlfriend who's an artist and a mother. She has these amazing drawings. And so for listeners at home, this tank top is a mother with a toddler wrapped around her neck while she's trying to get ready.
Oh, my goodness.
It's impossible to get ready once you have children. And so I want to know, Glozell, what is your beauty routine and how do you get out of the house dressed with Ozell?
Okay. And sometimes it's hard. You know, I have a lot of help. So I'm like, where's my hair? Put my hair on. Get it ready. You know, eyeliner, lipstick. I'm good. I keep it simple. Like even today, I'm like, I'm going to BeautyCon.
Yeah.
Let me up my game a little bit. And so we're in the elevator coming here, and the guy's like, you have a tag. I got this dress last night. Like, my tag is still on my, oh, Marshall's dress for life. Okay, so I'm not always winning with that, but I do my best. Get her dressed, get her occupied, give her a snack, you know? Because you have to plan this. Like, I've got to get out of the house. I've got to get here. So Ozell needs to be occupied.
Do you plan your outfits the night before? Because that's my new thing. It's like trying to figure it out the night before. Because once my children wake up, like, it's game over. I mean, this morning I sent my husband and the kids. I was like, you guys going to get breakfast? Because I got to get some fake eyelashes on.
I have to get up so early to make sure that her bag's packed. This is packed before the day starts.
Yeah.
On the weekends. On the weekdays, I have a little better because we have a nanny. Yes, and so she comes and get her ready for
school. What do you do on, like, Sunday night when you want to just, like, have a moment?
There is no moments.
There's
I have no
relief.
Moments. There is no Glozell moments. This is my moment. This is like, oh, I get a chance to just chill with some cool folks. And no one's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, you can't be hungry. You just ate. Oh, she must be growing again.
They're always growing. I'm always like, kitchen is closed. Kitchen is closed. And I don't cook and you don't cook.
No.
And your mom doesn't cook.
She really can't cook. I'm like, why are you a black woman from the South and can't cook? She cannot cook at all. But also knows how to open the refrigerator now. So I'm like, so now she takes out what she wants, but then, you know, there's stuff that all over the floor. I'm like, okay, well, she's fed. There you go.
Well, speaking of not having a chance for you to unwind, it's because you work so hard and you've worked hard for so many years. And one of the things that I really, really appreciate about you and your message is like the idea that most people are not overnight sensations.
No.
They are working their butts off for a really, really long time.
And people think that it's overnight because maybe you haven't heard of this person and now they're a sensation.
Right. You know,
but if they haven't worked that long to get there, they don't stay. They won't stay.
They're the staying power.
It's like, oh, there's a fluke that you did this video and like, oh, yeah, we're going to do what they do. And then it's going to be gone next week. And then you have someone like me that's still here. I've been on the internet. This year is my 10th year.
Oh my God. Congratulations. That's huge.
You know, and you see people come and go and you know why they come and go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you had a really circuitous route to stardom.
She's a big word, y'all.
And you know, because you came out to Hollywood.
Yes.
Later than most people that are trying to make it in Hollywood.
And I'm still older than most that are like on YouTube, you know, on the internet. For the most part, my friends are at least 10, 15, 20 years younger than me. And that's okay.
Well, and you, because you wanted to be like Carol Burnett.
Yes, 100,000%.
And so you started out in stand-up.
Yes.
And y'all, she was in a contest where you could win $25, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And she shared the stage.
Oh, you're bringing that.
Oh, yes, I am. So, will you share? No, I did some other
like,
sleuthing. Okay, so Glozell, set the stage for us.
Okay.
How many years ago was this?
This is about, I've been on the internet for 10 years. This is before the internet, so at least 15 years ago. So there's this chick, Tiffany Haddish. I'm like, okay, we're going to do this comedy thing. I'm going to kill it, right? Because I'm like, this chick she's not going to be funnier than me. So we get there and I've got all my stuff planned and I'm like, kill it, I got to kill it. And then she does this bit about a dog and she's like barking or on the floor and I'm like, everyone's dying. They're cracking up. I'm like, well, where is Tiffany Haddish going to be 10 years from now? Yeah. Well, she's everywhere.
She's everywhere.
Tiffany Haddish is literally everywhere. She is killing the game. She beat me. She won that $25 that she desperately needed that I found out later, you know, because she was living in her car at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Like, her story is crazy.
Wow.
But and this whole time, I'm like, She barked like a dog and she beat me in a comedy contest. How did that happen? But we're cool now. It was cool then, but I just couldn't believe that.
I have a similar experience.
Really?
Yeah. So, guys, when I was in college, I was in a play where I was the lead. I had big dreams of making it in Hollywood. I was in this college play. I was on stage every second of the play. The opening scenes I shared with a beautiful young actress, Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, what? You're like, she's never going to make it.
I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to make it. Yeah. So she won Best Supporting Actress in 2014. And at the time, everyone was like, oh, she's an overnight sensation. And I was like, no.
Right.
2005.
Right.
She had to be in a play with me. Like, she paid her dues.
I understand that. And so
it's amazing to watch her.
And Tiffany Haddish, too. You know, we were hoping to get $25 with an audience who cared less about us. But, you know, there you go. Well,
and then you and I, we just had to find our mediums, which hadn't really been invented yet.
There was no YouTube.
Podcasting.
There was no
really
podcast. There was no, basically no internet. No one was doing that at all.
So what would you say to your viewers, like the daughters out there who have not found their thing yet?
You keep going. You keep living. You're going to find your thing. And when you find it, stick with it. It's all good. Yes, there's going to be people who are not going to understand. When I started the internet, mom, uncles, aunties, what are you doing? You're acting so stupid. And people can see that. You know, I'm at work and people are like, your niece, your daughter is acting like a fool on the internet, blah, blah, blah. And I would get, I don't want anybody to know that we know you, blah, blah, blah. And then here comes the White House. Can you come interview the president? I'm like, mom, no one believed me. I didn't really believe it at first. And I was just like, you know, and it kept happening. I was like, right, this is real funny. Why would I be? Well, it turns out his daughter's watched. And they're like, he was really on the edge of doing different things to get people to watch. And the internet was growing. It was big. It's one of those things. And so thank you, Sasha and Malia, because they're the ones that got me the interview.
Well, they got lipstick out of it.
There you go. They got lipstick out of it. And now everyone's like, oh, that's my daughter. Oh, that's my niece. That's my cousin. Our family that I've never even heard of. Like, are we really related? Mm-hmm. You know, now? So that changed the game. And then you have to be forgiving. Because not everybody, they can't see your path because it's your path. They can't hear your dreams. That's your dreams. And then when you make it, then they're like, oh, okay. Because there was no internet. I grew up learning on a typewriter. You know, it's like we didn't have computer class when I was in elementary school. So that's how long ago, you know, I got way back.
With bringing up your interview with President Barack Obama, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, Google it. She does such an incredible.
He smelled good, y'all.
Job.
He smelled good.
What
I was
he
like,
smell
where
like?
Is Michelle? Where is she? She's not in this room. Okay, because she could take me. Do you see those arms? She could take me.
So you asked him about cybersecurity.
Yes.
And I feel like since that conversation that you had with him, it's just getting crazier and crazier. Do y'all get emails every day about some new app that's been hacked?
In his defense, he's not the president anymore. So
I've got these scammers calling me on a daily basis that I've won some trip to Hawaii.
I get those all the time, but there was a time where they were like, oh, Hillary Clinton's emails, it was hacked. They also lumped me in there also that somehow I'm some FBI agent or something. I'm like, I'm just on the internet. You know, I got beat up by Tiffany Haddish for $25. Like, you're not going to find anything in my emails, okay?
You were a part of that whole personal email thing.
It was like all these important people in the government. And then me, I'm like, okay, you guys are really on your game. I know nothing.
Okay, but you share so much of yourself online.
Yes.
And of your daughter. And I'm curious about privacy and what do you keep separate? Share with us what you keep private, Lozelle.
Well, I tell you what I should have kept private because it's really hard with relationships.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm out there. That doesn't mean that who you signed up with is out there also.
Yep.
Because you're thinking that I'm talking about me, but when I'm talking about me, I'm also including other people. And that has not gone the best. Yeah. You know, so I have new people, like new friends, because not everybody wants to be, oh, you're sitting with Glozell. Someone's going to take a picture and post it. They're like, well, I'm a psych. My best friend is a doctor, and she doesn't want to be on the internet. So that was a time that we didn't talk. Mm. I'm like, well, I can't help it.
Right.
You know, that someone snapped a picture and they put it up, and someone's like, oh, that's my doctor over there with this person who's, you know, swimming in cereal on the internet, you know. So, you know, that's that. So it has those downfalls, but now there's new people and we've come around. That's not always easy because my stuff is crazy out there.
I mean, even just with the podcast, it's a parenting podcast, so I'm going to talk about my mother, but I'm still waiting for that awkward conversation one night when she finally starts listening to the podcast.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, well, like, my mom does not know how to work a computer.
Yeah, that's good.
But then when she hears something, she's hearing it from second to third hand. So.
Right. So did my mom. I know her friends
are
listening.
Did you hear it? That's, for yourself, do you know where, you know, so
yeah.
There you go.
Well, speaking of motherhood, you know, you became a mother in your 40s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hollywood makes it seem real doable these days.
They lie.
They lie. Tell us.
They lie. I believe that any celebrity outside of myself that has twins and all this, like 47, 48. 40,
Janet Jackson.
People are like, well, Janet Jackson did it. Holly Berry did it. I'm like, you don't know where these... You don't know that.
You're faking it?
No, I'm just kidding. I mean,
fake baby.
I know a lot of fertility people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fertility people who find people who look like the person to help with the eggs and things like that. That is a job. That is a job.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, you did several rounds of IVF.
12.
12 rounds of IVF.
12, like a crazy person, because I didn't want Ozell to be an only child. You know, especially being with older parents. I'm like, we gonna die, and it's gonna be you. You know, it's just like, you need a brother or sister to help bury it. You know, it's not to deal with that. But needless to say, she's gonna have to deal with it by herself. There you go.
Okay.
Marry well. There you go. Have, you know, someone that has like brothers and sisters that are really, so now her friends, like I'm really interested in a lot of classes and really getting to know people and their parents and church and everything, because this is going to be her. These are her siblings. She doesn't have any. I have one sister. She doesn't have any kids. That is it.
That's it.
That's it. My husband's 10 years older than me. I'm like, whoa. Like, so there we go.
I know that our listeners at home are wanting to hear this about IVF and about endometriosis.
Yes.
Because that is, you know, I didn't realize until a couple of years ago that it's such a common issue.
They said one out of eight.
One out of eight women.
Especially if you wait till after 30, you're like, oh, I'm doing it. I'll make sure I got my career.
Yeah.
And I got my education.
Right.
And, you know,
I'm
going to do it all.
To partner with.
And then I'm like, oh, my cousin who had kids at 20. You know, now I'm like, oh, well, you had it. So, like, you know, you're trying to do something with your life that's different. And biology is biology. At the end of the day.
What were your symptoms of endometriosis? And, like, did the medical community take you seriously?
No. Nobody takes you seriously. And still to this day, who knows what I had? Because you're guessing.
Okay.
They're guessing. Yeah. And I'm like, my husband's 10 years older than me. It's got to be him. No test. No test for him. No test. No.
So what would you say to young women that want...
Start early. Because someone like me, Ozell, as soon as she can get her eggs frozen, that's what I'm going to do. Then you can have your kids at 56 and you can have your kids when you go. You know, someone can... Whatever you want to do. So you have options.
Mm-hmm. Because freezing your eggs is, you know, obviously very expensive. But going through what you endured is a lot more expensive than that.
A lot more expensive, yes. But now, I mean, they have... I tell them, like, my daughter was on layaway. You know, like, you pay a little, you pay when you can. You know, it's just... They have payment plans, just like a car, just like a house. That's what you have to do, if that's what you want to do. And that's what I wanted to do.
Well, motherhood looks really good on you.
Thank you.
I saw a video where you were talking about, like, your new look.
Yes.
And I feel like you've really gone through, like, a... Can you talk to us a little bit about...
I was more clownish before, and I thought that was fun, and that was great. Tutu and green Crocs and, you know, like, green eyelashes. I mean, all works all the time. I felt like, if I don't wear green, no one's... I know who I am now. But so now it's just the lipstick from time to time, and I was thinking, I'll get a green lip pen, and I'll change it up. And now this has green in it, but I'm not green from head to toe. Like, yeah. And it's kind of, you know, softer, more mommy, pretty.
You're doing some wellness stuff, too. Yes, I was reading about your vaginal steaming.
Yes.
Where do you get that?
I'm going to real sometime to do some kind of real crazy, you know, because, like, if you laugh or you jump too hard, you know, I might pee-pee on myself. So they just do that.
You do that, too. Okay.
Yeah, now they got it down to a shot. So, yeah, I'm the queen of, like, oh, there's this new thing out, or let's try that, mm-hmm. and let's do that. But I was desperate to do things to help the IVF.
Yeah.
So I was from, I've had leeches everywhere, and I've done it all.
Okay, give us something else besides leeches.
Leeches, I've done the bee sting, the cold, like you get in the freezer, like it was a...
God.
Like, it's really, really cold.
These are like YouTube challenges that you're doing.
Yes, and then I have where you just put the cold there on the area, isolated areas. Yeah. So that's extreme.
Okay.
It's below freezing.
Jade egg, you tried that?
Oh.
Did you try that? The jade egg thing? Yanni egg or whatever they call it?
Yes, I have several of those. They sent them to me. Yes, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the whole Gwyneth Paltrow controversy with Goop had to pay $145,000 in civil penalties? For unsubstantiated marketing claims about those jade eggs.
Well, you know, they've been around for a long time, and some people, you know, live by and swear by them, and I have too. So give Gwyneth a break, you know. I love the ridiculous stuff that I'm like, oh, here's an egg for $15 billion. You're just like, I'll get two of those. You know, Goop is over the top.
Glozell, what do you have for the glow bugs in our audience to look forward to in this next year?
Oh, look forward to. I'll be in Vanity Fair in November. So please get that. Ozell upstaged me and she ended up getting a shoot too. So
woo!
I hope that I'm still in it. So I know she's in it. And also I'm on this show called All That that's out on Nickelodeon. My episode airs in October. So that's great. And I think
we got some gasps in the audience.
Yes. Also, I'm still there. Please continue to subscribe and like and share these crazy videos that I do online, YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah. What are your handles?
Glozell. GLOZELL. And also, I want to ask you all, where are you? Are you on Snapchat? Because things come and go. Because I was like, I'm going to kill it on Vine. I'm about to kill by the time I killed it on Vine. Vine was gone. So... you know, like sometimes you need to stay where your people are, but you do want to know what's going on. So are you on Snapchat? Is that your main thing versus Instagram?
Instagram.
TikTok. So are you posting, music or are you just looking at other people's things? Okay. You like, Twitter is making a comeback. I noticed. Yes. Uh-huh. And Facebook, they was like, no, cause my grandma on Facebook. Well, I can't be myself on Facebook. Yeah, and alcohols and people like that. So I understand that.
And the younger kids are on TikTok.
TikTok.
Okay,
yes.
Younger kids are on TikTok. I now feel what it's like to be middle aged.
Yes.
Like to be like, what is this language the children are speaking?
Yes, but like Periscope is gone. There's other things.
Well, that's why I didn't ever invest the time or energy into Instagram because I thought it would go away. And it's the one thing that has had
like,
real staying power.
Away. go away. There was something before YouTube, but what was it when Tom had to be your friend? It was one of those like first internet things. And I was just like, yeah, MySpace. Who said MySpace?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, MySpace was like where everyone met their boyfriends.
Yeah.
So, guys, I does anyone have a question for Glozell? Yes. Okay. I'm going to come over to you and you can talk into my mic. My lapel, okay? That's real awkward.
My question is, how old is your daughter, Ozell?
Oh, how old is my daughter, Ozell? Ozell was born August 4th, which happened to be former President Barack Obama's birthday. And when you do IVF, which is when you have help from doctors, you get to pick the date. And you also get to pick the gender. So you're like, you're like, what? Yes. So you do get to do that. And so they have within 2 week span. But when would you like your daughter be born? I'm like, her, what's going on? Oh, President Barack Obama's birthday. So how about
that? That's so cool.
So,
for listeners, I am sashaying over to our other audience member and just like awkwardly leaning over.
So what's your tip for working moms who are mid-life, mid-career, but still want to pursue their dreams and desires, but have taken a step back because they are parents and they're working? So how do you go about those ambitions?
Okay, so you're asking me how to go about those ambitions when you've got other things you have to do, but there's other things you want to pursue. You got to find time. If you find time to talk on the phone, you find time to watch any television, a part of me is like, well, if I want to be where those people are, then guess what? I can't be watching as much as I like to watch because I like to go to sleep, watch. I mean, on Netflix, I'm like, oh, yeah. So during that time, you need to work your dream.
A lot of the things that you say about IVF, I didn't know either.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then with IVF, they're like, well, you should have done it at 20. Well, who knew at 20? And who has the money at 20? And who think they're going to have a fertility issue at 20? I was never sick. I never had an issue. You know, when my grandmother, they were still having kids in 30s, 40s, but they started earlier. I'm thinking food is different. Stress is different. This is what that was her job. She wasn't working. Maybe that has something to do with it. It's just a different time. So yes, as far as dreams concerned, if it is your dream, you will find time to do it.
You are so driven and ambitious. I'm curious, like, do you have any methods for mapping out like what you want?
Well, what you want always changes. And there's times where you're not as ambitious as you want to be. But sometimes, when you see other people doing what you want to do, you're like, oh, okay. Like this last year, 2018, I was just kind of like, what? I don't know what I want to do. I'm not sure what I want to do. And then I'm like, I'm going to put myself out there. So I'm in, like, yes to BeautyCon. Yes to podcasts. I'm putting myself out there. And then as I'm putting myself out there, it seems like everything starts to shift. I get this message from Kevin Hart 2 weeks ago. I mean, Kevin Hart, who I met 17 years ago, along with Tiffany Head, all these people who were not going to make it. I was the one that's going to make it, right?
Wait, is he the one you dated?
You know what? You're the only person who's ever asked me. I'm like, did everybody skip that part when it was like clear that there was some...
Well, there was somebody. I love that section. So in this section of the book, Is You Okay? Glozell shares that she dated a stand-up comic who shortly thereafter she was on a date with someone else who turned out to be homeless.
Yes.
But they ended up watching a movie and it was the other guy she had dated.
Yes.
So, but she was very discreet.
Yes.
She was private in that moment.
Yes.
And now we cracked the code. So he called. So he's texting.
I did not say it was him, but I'm saying
she didn't.
Kevin Hart called.
Yeah, you're not saying. You're pleading with
it. Out there, but called and said, come interview me for this movie that I'm doing. And I'm like, wow, okay. And since then, Saturday Entertainer, why don't you come?
Wow.
And then, so I'm just like, yesterday, I go to a premiere and I was shunned by two people. I'm just not gonna say their names, but I'm like, okay, stank one and stank two. And I'm like, that's very stank. And then, so I'm feeling like, you know, cause you know, like you ask for a picture and it's like, you're like,
what? You text me there.
So I'm walking and I'm like trying not to have my face drop, even though other people are coming up to me and saying, oh, may I have a picture with you? Viola Davis, which is an A-lister, she's like, oh my gosh, it's Glozell. Oh my gosh. And I'm like,
so cool.
If she wasn't saying my name, I was turning around like, who in the world is she talking about? Because I'd just been dogged by now F-listers. You know, I would have said they were B-listers. But
yeah.
Now I'm like, you're F-listers.
State-listers.
So, I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there's days where you're not as inspired, but then someone else to help lift you up. You're just like, okay, now I'm going to go. Now I'm feeling inspired. I'm like, she's watching. Someone else is watching. You keep going. And, and you never know that nice note, that nice saying that you said to somebody would really make their day. And you're thinking like, oh, they're already made, you know, but hey, I needed to hear that day. Cause I was just like, oh, okay, you're a star. I'm on the internet, guess kind of a thing. And then,
yeah.
The biggest star that was there, and then you know,
she was
freaking out over me.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay.
Well, what I'm hearing you say also is that like when we're feeling tired and down, and there's seasons, I think of ambition for
that helps you appreciate on your way up. You hear these things because I've been like on the internet, no problem. No, then all of a sudden down, it just kind of like thrown because the internet is changing. You know, like okay, so sometimes I try not to overly be religious all the time, but God or the universe will shake things up because you would never have tried anything new if you kept doing the same thing if everything was just fine. So now, you know, out of that, putting myself out there, getting this call from this person, and this, and I'm doing different things and I'm enjoying myself. And now work is a little different. I'm doing movies. I'm interviewing celebrities. And I'm like, okay. I mean, the only person that I interviewed was former President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. You know, you start at the top.
I started, and then that was it. Like, I hadn't interviewed anybody else before or after. And then
that's insane.
I just kind of started there. And then I'm like, okay, it wasn't my thing. But you don't say no.
No, you don't say no.
One crazy thing about the White House is that they never asked me for any ID. Not a thumbprint, not a passport, not a license, which makes me know that they already had all that information and more.
Oh, yeah. They were staked out at your house.
And they already knew. I'm like, thank goodness I never post. You know, watch what you post. Even when you comment on somebody, you stink. You know, like if I had anything like that, you know, that's what they would have brought up when I'm interviewing President Barack Obama.
Which I feel like is such an important message to share with your young viewers. Because
it's not worth it.
You've been clean this whole time.
I've been clean because I want the celebrity that I talk about, like, to like me. To like, oh, that was funny what you said. I hope she said something about me. So when I run into the Kardashians, they're like, hey, you know. And I'm like, oh, good, shoot, okay. Because they're the funniest to talk about, you know, in a positive way. Yeah.
Wow. So. I know that our audience really wants to take some pictures with you.
I want to take pictures with you.
So we will wrap up the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Have me on again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're coming. We're going to do this again.
Please.
And to listeners out there, find Glozell. I'm sure you're already one of her 4.7 million subscribers.
Thank you. Yeah, let's get a 4.8. Let's move it on up.
Yeah, let's get up to five. Yes. Five today.
Hey, everybody, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Do it. Share this. Special thanks to our guests today, Glozell Green and Sunny Abada, and a huge thank you to the Jane Club, Beauty Counter, and BeautyCon. Our production assistant is Olivia Hasty. Our sound engineer is Owen O'Neill. We had special sound help from Nicholas Zaglaris this week, and original music, as always, by Jeremy Turner. Until next week, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on. Atomic Moms.
Ask me if I dated Kevin Hart.
What? Did you date Kevin Hart?
She won't say, but I think I got the scoop.
It was not.
Did you? I have to know this information.
Am I good or am I good?
I'm just going to say he was a little foxy. I gave you a very huge hint. I gave you the biggest hint I've ever given everybody ever in my life.
Oh. Oh, my God.